Hello and welcome to the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast for the 23rd of November 2014. My name's TRP Watson, and this week I'm joined by Gareth James and Julie Raby.
We're now going to talk about Wildfire at the Hampstead Theatre. This is a play by Roy Williams and is directed by Maria Aberg. It concerns Gail Wilde, an average policeman who has come into an inner London police station. I think it's a South London police station. From Horsham, where she has been living with her husband and family and having a relatively quiet life, although the pubs in a country town like Horsham get pretty rough on a Saturday night, but she's not quite prepared for everything that happens in the Met, but it does seem to be her ambition. Gareth, tell me more about this and what you thought of it.
Yes, as you say, she's a copper who moves from Horsham to the Met and brings with it a sort of an enthusiasm and an idealism that it doesn't take long for the Met to beat out of her, really. Initially, she comes across a woman who's suffering from domestic violence, and she works very hard to try and get her to come forward and report it. She doesn't really approve of some of what her colleagues are doing, particularly some of their violence and some of the way they pay gang members for information. But everything turns when her colleague, Spence, they're both stabbed. Both her and her colleague is stabbed, but he much more than her, and he dies. And at this point, she just goes just completely off the rails, and she starts drinking. She starts using a lot of prescription drugs, or more prescription drugs than she's been prescribed, and abuses her husband and daughter. And from a work perspective, she's obviously obsessed with finding Spence's killer, and she tries to buy information so that she can find him. And with her domestic violence client, she suggests a more risky strategy for her, which doesn't turn out well. And then at that point, while she's going off the rails, we get another sort of idealistic rookie cop coming in from the country in Vince. And it sort of seems to show a cycle of people coming from the country into the Met, enthusiastic and idealistic and then disillusioned, happening on a sort of regular basis, really. I think it's very refreshing to find a play about the police on stage, to be honest. We have masses of television programs about the police and awful lot of films involve the police, but very little on stage. And credit to Roy Williams for taking a very objective and, I think, empathetic view of what is an extraordinarily difficult job. And I think, this isn't a police bashing play. This is both sympathetic and empathetic to the dilemma, but not hiding some of the more unacceptable aspects of the police as well. So I think, credit to him for that. I'm not sure what goes wrong here, but I actually left the theatre with this sense of hopelessness, and I was really very depressed, because it really does leave you thinking, this isn't going to change. This is just completely hopeless. And I found that very difficult. I appreciate, it's reality, but I found it very difficult. I think part of the problem is that it's in the wrong theatre. I was there looking around at the usual Hampstead audience, white middle class and Belsize Park residents, I think. And they were visibly not enjoying themselves. To the contrary, they were hating it, and indeed sometimes audibly hating it. This isn't the theatre to put in urban, edgy, hard-hitting plays, frankly. I think it would have been received very differently, and there would have been a very different atmosphere if it was somewhere like the Theatre One in Stratford, where Williams' last play was, the one set in Kingston. I think the second thing about it, they've stripped back the Hampstead stage again, as they did for Wonderland, and created really a rather big cavernous space. And the benefit of that is it enables them to realistically depict violence and riots and so on. But the downside of it is that it is kind of vast and cavernous, and the intimate scenes kind of get lost in that space. And also gives you audibility issues, because I didn't pick up all the dialogue because of the way that space is structured. And I think the third thing is that he pushes the second part of the play when she's going off the rails just a bit too far, and it becomes a bit melodramatic. And I think a little more restraint in that could have benefited the play. But, I think it's good to see a play like this, being put on stage. I've seen, I think, a dozen Roy Williams plays, and he still remains for me one of our best writers. And he's probably one of the few that's covering the kind of urban working class issues, if you like. And I think good for him to be taking this direction, to be, not a different sort of direction to what he's done previously. There is a superb central performance from Lorraine Stanley, who hasn't done masses of stage work, as Gail, and the transition she has to make from this naive rookie to this damaged woman is very, very well done indeed. And she's surrounded by very, very good actors. I really like Ricky Champ, who's her partner, Spence, who we only see for about half the time, but he gives a particularly passionate performance, I think. I admired it, but I have to say I did leave the theatre kind of my shoulders kind of sinking, thinking, oh, so I couldn't say I enjoyed it or found it entertaining, because that's not what it was. And I think at the end of the day, you know, admire, not enjoy, I think would be my conclusion.
What did you think about it, Julie?
I agree with a lot of what Gareth said about it. When the play started, I thought, oh, the dialogue's a bit stilted. It lacks the kind of passion. It's a bit obvious. And then I realised what they were doing in setting up this scenario where these characters in the police station were over kind of optimistic and joking with each other. And Gail comes in, the female policewoman. She comes in and she's bringing a kind of domesticity to the station, and you think, oh, this is a bit bland. But I think by setting it up like that, when you do get the shock in the middle, it really turns everything on its head. And I thought that was fantastic. I really liked the open stage, though some of the dialogue did get lost in it. But what I liked about the open stage was that sense of the nightmare creeping up on everybody. And you had characters hiding in the dark and suddenly they would appear. And I thought that was really good. I liked the way that Maria and Naomi Dawson worked together a lot, Naomi Dawson, the set designer. And I liked the way that each part of the city and the police station were all there on stage. I thought that worked really well. I agree about the central performance from Lorraine Stanley playing Gail. I thought that was superb. And I really liked the way that she had the uniform on, and then when she had her morning dress, that kind of became part of her uniform when she had the breakdown. So there was this kind of merging in between, is it reality, is it a kind of dream world? There's a moment with ghosts and, you know, it's the hallucinations, but it actually feels like the real world as well, where the two, you can't tell which is which. And I thought that worked really, really well. And I agree about Ricky Champ as Spence. I thought he managed to get that character to really funny kind of character, but a really serious moment in the stabbing as well. I thought that was great. I like watching Ricky Champ on stage, and I've seen him lots of different parts now. I like to see more of him. So I agree about the hopelessness. That's just what you felt, that nothing was ever going to be solved. It would just be a cycle. And I did come out of the theatre feeling the same as you, Gareth, about that. And also people around me were absolutely appalled. Some people I heard saying it's the worst thing they'd ever seen. So it's certainly a play that really challenges and makes you think. And I enjoyed it. I really got a lot from it. But it was really bleak and dark at the end.
I haven't seen as much of Maria Aalborg's work as you have. I think I've only seen this in Hotel. And I think two things about it. I mean, obviously based on limited evidence, but I think she seems to be really good at staging sort of epic stuff, you know, riots and fights and things like that, although she has the help of a fighter here, obviously. But I mean, I think in that sense, I think she brings a kind of epic scale to it. But I wonder whether she sometimes, you know, could be just a bit more restrained. I found that in Hotel, and I think I find the same here, really, that she maybe just pushes it too far. And the problem with pushing it too far is that you kind of stretch plausibility a little bit. And I just wonder whether a bit more restraint in her work might help. But, you know, I haven't seen any of her Shakespeare's, for example. So it is based on very limited evidence, really.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Hotel, I think that was quite restricted by the play itself as well. Both of these are very short, aren't they? So you're doing a lot very quickly in these two plays, Hotel and Wildfire. I think with the Shakespeare, she's got, and the White Devil that's on in Stratford at the moment, she's got a bit more time to kind of develop that. But I think that's what's great about the Shakespeare, that she's done the King John, which I absolutely loved, and the White Devil that's on in the Swan at the moment, is that she does push boundaries, that she does bring an imagination that you know, you wouldn't expect. And I think that's why I'm interested in her, that I can go and see something and think, I would never have dreamed of doing that play in that way. This is a revelation. So with the more classical stuff, there's a bit more time to develop things. But there again, she does bring in that kind of shock value and does push boundaries.
I think she is a bit of a love or hate director, isn't she?
And yeah.
And a lot of reviewers and other people sort of really absolutely hating her work. And then a lot of other people like you and other bloggers who, you know, follow her work. So clearly, you know, and there are other directors like that. I think Rupert Gould's a bit like that in a way.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it very much is a love or hate. I would like to see more of her work, and I'd like to see some of the Shakespeare. But Tim, we haven't asked you what you thought.
I have to say, I wasn't entirely happy with it. As you said, Gareth, it's not really in the right place at the Hampstead. It didn't feel right. I mean, they have a bit of a problem at Hampstead in that they've got an incredibly loyal audience who will literally go to anything that they put on. So they've been doing this sort of for 20-odd years or however, probably longer, you know, ever since the theatre first started. You've got an audience who are a little bit conservative. So when you get something in which is radical, and especially something like a Roy Williams play, which is gritty and urban, it doesn't sort of mesh with the Hampstead audience. I always remember friends of mine who I've taken to that theatre going, yes, well, these people are very much Hampstead, aren't they? And it doesn't quite fit. I mean, I think it's well done and everything. One of the things I found most interesting, though, about it was how sympathetic it is to the police. You don't always expect Roy Williams to, you know, sympathise with the police, but this is a very sympathetic portrait. And we get at the beginning somebody dressed up as Sir Robert Peel reading out the principles of forming a police force, which he did when he formed the Met. And I thought, you know, that must have been done in sort of the 1830s, 1840s, I think, or maybe in the 1820s. And I thought it was incredibly progressive. They're incredibly reasonable. And you see in the play, I think, is supposed to see how they can't maintain that anymore. And they've gone away from those principles that they have. And although they all know them and they're drummed into them, they can't really get there. I think one of the things about this play, though, is it's a bit too short. So you don't really get the full development of things happening. You know, it just, one thing happens after another, and you don't really get sort of enough of a depth of character in there. And one or two of the characters, I think, are slightly, they're not flimsily drawn, but they are thin in terms of their characterization. And I wanted more from it. And I think that it's an hour and 25 minutes. So it's not, and it's played straight through. And I didn't think really that's long enough. I mean, I don't normally ask for longer plays, but I think this could have done with half an hour, and it would have been an extra half an hour, and it would have been quite a lot better.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about the police sort of broadening the subject from the play for a minute, and in a way, this is shared with the city, with politicians, and to some extent with the church. People in all of those institutions are, the vast majority of people are overwhelmingly good people. But there's a small number of people that are really just horrible, and they do damage the reputation of the institution so dramatically. So if you think of the police, you know, we think about the Stephen Lawrence case, we think about Plebgate, we think about hacking all the time, and therefore that kind of steers us away from all the, as William shows, the good things that, you know, the importance of the police to our society, really. But in a way, there's normally some humanity in his plays. There's normally something, the kind of grain of hope that you hang on to. You know, even in his grittiest plays, there's something there that just makes you think, it could be better, but here that wasn't there. And I think that's the big difference between this and all the other Roy Williams plays for me. There was this lack of humanity and hope that he normally does have. Maybe that's how he feels, and maybe he's right.
We're now going to talk about John, which is on at the National Theatre. This is a piece by Deviate, the Physical Theatre Dance Company. They have put together a verbatim piece about a man called John. We're not told his surname, but he tells an interesting tale of an abused childhood, of sexual exploits, and basically ending up in prison after a rather tragic life, it seems. His father was abusive, did horrible things to the babysitter. His siblings died off, as did his mother. She died from a heroin overdose. So it's not a very nice story, but it's, as a dance piece, it actually works surprisingly well, I thought. It's often what we're getting are tableaus. I should say it's directed by Lloyd Newsom, and it is designed by Anna Fleischel, who has created a revolving stage where, as John tells his story, we are given almost tableaus where the dancers freeze in motion as a story event happens, and often we only hear what has happened and we get the aftermath, or we don't necessarily see the violence of the abuse or whatever he's talking about. We tend to see the aftermath. We tend to see characters either frozen in motion or struggling to cope with what has just happened. And I thought that worked incredibly well in this piece. I'm not an expert on dance, but I did think this was very impressive. The only thing I think that I had a problem with on this was, as we've developed the story and we're not sure where it's going, it suddenly diverts itself into a rather comic piece about a gay sauna where people, homosexual men, turn up and have sex a lot. And you kind of wonder what's going on here. What is the connection with this rather gritty story about a man who we last saw about to come out of prison having done a degree, having made something of himself? We suddenly get this rather comic piece. It's well done, admittedly, and you get to see lots of semi-bare naked flesh, if you like that sort of thing, but I just didn't quite see what the connection was. I mean, there is a peripheral connection which you find out at the end, but it is a little bit perfunctory, and it did make me realise that there are one or two other things that are kind of glossed over. We get told information, but we really don't get any depth of that. It's sort of, oh yeah, this is something I should have told you earlier, or this is something that I could have covered up. I mean, there is actually something that is covered up here, and it made me not enjoy it as much. I did enjoy this a lot, though. I thought it was very powerful. Gareth, what did you think of it?
Well, Deviate used to be very much a dance company, a kind of contemporary dance company, but they, I think 3 shows ago, they started adding dialogue, and in fact, the last 3 shows have all been based, have all been verbatim. But the other two were kind of political and angry, and this one's actually much more personal. And in the programme notes, it's quite interesting that Lloyd Newsom had set out to do a piece about assisted suicide, but sort of personal events in his life meant he switched direction, and the direction he switched to was love and life. And then because they went through this process of questionnaires and interviews, and because John was so fascinating, the play became about him, although they also say about love and sex and John. And as you say, I mean, John's story is absolutely fascinating and tragic, dreadful sort of childhood. And he goes, you know, as you'd expect, drink, drugs, crime, homes, hostels, postal, prison, the lot. And during this time, has a whole load of girlfriends and has certainly at least one child in that process. And then it's only after he comes out of prison, when he tries to reconnect with his son but fails, that he goes into this decline again. And that's when we start the second part in the 24-hour gay sauna. And I agree with you. I think it is very much a play in two halves. And that was the point at which it became imbalanced for me, because the whole of that last section isn't really about John. So we've kind of been lulled into this fascinating piece about a fascinating life. And now we're in another place and we're being told another story about sort of life in the sauna, really. And, you know, the connection is that John starts hanging out there and decides he's bisexual, then decides he's gay. And I think the message perhaps about the sauna is that people are looking for love, but they only ever find sex. So it does, you know, it is, as you say, it's a very, very clever piece. And I certainly didn't regret going to see it. But I do think it's a play in two halves. And I do think it becomes a very different story when you get to that sort of second half, really. And I wonder why they did that. I wonder, perhaps they've run out of John's story. I don't know. But that didn't make so much sense to me. And the whole thing, of course, is only 75 minutes long. So I think it's a very worthwhile piece, but I think flawed in that respect.
We're now going to talk about Behind the Beautiful Forevers, which is a new play by David Hare based on a journalistic book by Catherine Boo. Catherine Boo spent a large amount of time in a Mumbai slum near to the airport and collected stories. I think she was there for about 2 years, and it's sort of 2 years worth of stories which was collected into the book, which I think is also called Behind the Beautiful Forevers. It is directed by Rufus Norris and, for me, a little bit over-designed by Katrina Lindsay. What did you think about it, Gareth?
I enjoyed it very much, actually. As you say, it's based on reportage by Catherine Boo, who then published her work. So it's a David Hare play, but it's from another source, which I don't think that's usual for David Hare. And this shanty town or slum called Anawadi is at Mumbai Airport, and it's a mostly Muslim community. And it's screened from visitors and business people and the Indian middle class by kind of barriers. And the reason it's called Behind the Beautiful Forevers, I think, is because some of these barriers have posters on them advertising something called the Beautiful Forevers, whatever that might be. And the stories that they use are basically centering on three strong women, really. And sort of between them, they kind of represent life in this place. There's the Hussein family, and the matriarch there is Zerunnisa Hussein, who's played by Mira Stile. And they've actually become relatively wealthy. I use the word relatively, not wealthy perhaps by house standards, but wealthy in the slum standards, by processing waste. And the reason they're so successful is because their son Abdul is actually the best sorter of waste. And he has a friend called Sunil who's the best collector of waste. So they've actually become quite successful at that. Then the second woman is called Asha, and she's the kind of local fixer. She calls herself the go-to woman. And, you know, for money, she'll basically make anything happen for you. And the third one is Fatima, who actually has lost the use of one of her legs. And she actually sells her body in the afternoons to keep her family. She's got a husband and I think one son, and she, or daughter, and they know that she does this. So these are the people, you know, you don't see if you visit India, really. This is the part of India the government tries to cover up. This is the police and the other officials exploit them, as we find later in the play. And the upwardly mobile Indians who are sort of mobile because of globalization try and ignore them. But what they are, in effect, is they're a byproduct and a consequence of globalization. And they're a kind of a microcosm of a society. They've got, you know, norms and rules within that society. And there's conflict within that society. And the main action of the play focuses around the conflict between the Husseins, Zerunnisa's family, the rubbish collectors, and Fatima, the prostitute. And that reaches a new level, which I think probably would be wrong to describe in too much detail. But Fatima does something and blames them, and then three of the Husseins end up being arrested. And that takes us into the world of the police and the judiciary. And the police are clearly very corrupt. You can buy anything from the police as well. And the judiciary is just incompetent. I mean, there's some sort of fast-track process the Indian government have put in place. But clearly, it's frankly all a bit absurd, really. So it's a very, very fascinating story about a part of society we don't really hear about. It's sort of, maybe the Slumdog Millionaire did, but that was a very prettified version, I think, of it. Whereas this is much harsher and much grittier, although not without its humour. And I think Rufus Norris's staging is excellent, because I think it's very epic, and it kind of sweeps along the stage. I think there are some slow scene changes which take the pace away sometimes, but that's, I think, a small nickel for what is a very, very well-staged piece, and I think a very good use of the Olivier stage and indeed the Olivier resources, because it uses that that kind of deep half drum, as well as the rest of the stage. I actually thought Katrina Lindsay's design was excellent, because I think, you know, it is using the rubbish, if you like, and the kind of corrugated iron and metal gantries. I thought that was all really very good. So I liked the design very much. I think that, well, I just think it's the best thing that's been on the Olivier stage in terms of an in-house production, which so I don't include the James Place, since the last Rufus Norris thing, which was Amen Corner, and that had a whole black cast, and this has got a British Asian cast, and a very, very good British Asian cast. I think the three women are very good. The three matriarchs are played by Mira Steele, who I mentioned, or Sile rather, Stephanie Street and Thusitha Jaya Sundara, which is probably a dreadful pronunciation, and they're all very good. But for me, the heart of the play is the guy who plays Sunil, which is Hiran Abisakera, and Abdul, which is Shane Zaza. They really kind of steal your heart, and with two very natural and very moving performances. And the play made me think a lot about the sort of, you know, the real consequences of this kind of escalating economic change. You know, I visited India, but not for a while, so I haven't seen it of late, but I have visited China lately a couple of times, and, you know, you see what's happening in the country in terms of building, but you don't see what's happening like this, kind of behind the scenes, if you like. So I think it's a true story that is needing to be told, and a true story that I think is told very well. And he doesn't become the artistic director until next April, but it kind of filled me with a lot of hope, I think, because I thought it was the sort of, you know, sort of direction I hope that the National Theatre continues to go in. So very enjoyable and to be recommended for me.
As I said, I did have a number of problems with this play. I think it's more that I kept thinking when I was watching people like Mira Sayal and Stephanie Street and Thusitha Jayasundara, I wanted to see more of them, and I wanted to see them in a little bit more detail. I just felt that it's not an epic play. I didn't think it was an epic play. I thought it was more of a domestic play, and I wanted actually a smaller, more focused part of this. I didn't feel I needed absolutely everything else, or perhaps you wanted to make a separation between the plays, so you separate out the story of the two boys and then the story of the women, because it's just so sprawling and, as I said, messy about the stage, or fussy. It just seemed large. You've got extremely big scene changes, and yes, it looks very impressive, the design, but I just felt it got in the way of the story he was trying to tell, and it wasn't, for me, wasn't focused enough. I think I wanted more of these individual stories to be brought into more sharp focus. Unfortunately, what he wants to make a sprawling epic, and he's got a sprawling epic, and you don't really feel that engaged with everybody. And some characters are sort of brought on, and basically they have to say who they are, say what they think, and then they're just gone. And I didn't quite enjoy it as much as I hoped I would, because it's just, There's not enough detail, I thought. I hate the phrase, but, you know, high definition is something that people often talk about when they're talking about theatrical performances. And I really wanted that, because I like most of the actors in this, and it would have been, I thought, good to see a little bit more detail from them instead of just the sprawl and the confusion.
I think the problem with that is that would have to be in another theatre, I think. I mean, the Olivier Theatre isn't a theatre that's made for that sort of more intimate personal storytelling. I think that once, you know, I'm not saying they shouldn't have chosen another theatre, but once you've chosen the Olivier Theatre, I think you're kind of locked into a certain, you know, a certain scale and size and style of production. And I think that's why it is as it is. But I think I probably felt more positive about it than you.
It is, of course, the second piece of David Hare that Thusitha Jayasundara has done this year. She's just come off doing the Vertical Hour at the Park Theatre.
Yeah. I didn't see that either time round, funny enough. Because it's a monologue. So, no, I didn't see that. She's very good. Well, they're all very good. I mean, it was great. Norris clearly has a kind of a strong affinity or a wish to do, you know, to do things that feature other countries, because we've had the Amen Corner, and we had Death and the King's Horseman, which of course was set in Nigeria with an entirely black cast. So, and he did something of a young Vic, didn't he, called Feast, which was also set in Africa as well. So I think we're going to see a lot of this kind of stuff, I suspect, under his regime. And that's no bad thing, because I do think the latter years of Hitler's regime, sadly, you know, hasn't been like the high that he achieved early on, and indeed, well, for most of everything except the last few years, I guess. So I'm looking forward to the new broom. And I, even though he's not there, I kind of felt in a way this was the sort of preview of the new broom.
You can find us at AYULTP on Twitter, on the as yet unnamed Under Third podcast page in Facebook. On the web we are AYULTP.com, and the podcast can also be found on both iTunes and Stitcher, where you can leave a review. Thank you, goodbye.